when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Courtney, what was your first job?
Let me tell you about my first job. I was a waitress at Friendly's, which is a diner. Oh, God. But the shade of the story is I went just to eat with one of my best friends in mm-hmm. high school, Leah. I'm talking to you if you're listening to this. And she was like, let's get a job. I was fine being a child. She was like, let's get this job together. We apply for the job. We get it. And mama's like, I'm not doing it.
But the irony is you did that to me.
When?
Last stop.
I'm not pimping myself for jeans.
Welcome to Job Logs, a podcast that features candid conversations with young professionals about work, life, and everything in between.
Hi there. Welcome back. I'm Joy Marie.
And I'm Courtney.
We are so stoked for today's conversation. We are speaking with a career coach, Ariel Lopez, who's going to talk to us a little bit about transitioning careers, which we know is a topic you guys really want to hear about. Yes. So stay tuned for that. Also,
special announcement.
So excited. Save the date, March 5th, New York City. It's going down. We are hosting an anniversary event to celebrate one amazing year with you guys.
Yes.
And the podcast.
Turn up professionally. Yes.
Tickets will go on sale February 5th. So look out for that. Make sure you are a part of our mailing list to get early access to those, jobbox.com/weekly to subscribe.
And it's a little different. It's not your average mm-hmm. event, so details coming soon.
Yes, for sure. I'm really stoked, so look out for that. Also, we have some new articles on the site from some of our contributors at jobblogs.com. If you're interested in writing, have a passion for kind of sharing your story with other young professionals, mm-hmm. hit us up, become a contributor at jobblogs.com/contribute.
Yes, definitely.
That's it.
All right. Clacking in. What's going on with your life, Joy?
Yeah, I mean, this year is off to an incredible start. Last episode, talked a little bit about just, you know, you spoke a little bit about how you kind of are the ish when you were looking back at your portfolio and everything. And I've been leaning more into that and everything because I think with job blogs, you know, this is kind of a new space. So sometimes I felt a little bit behind or like not as advanced as other brands. But we are killing the game as far as work goes and our networks and stuff. So I'm trying to lean more into existing connections that I have in real life and other elements of life. I've been doing a lot more networking meetings. I spoke on another major Slate podcast about student debt. I don't know if they'll air my segment or not, but it was a really cool experience. And also just kind of just, like I said, tapping into my network to
see where there's some synergies. That's where my mindset is for 2016.
Yeah.
Own it.
One thing I am trying to overcome at work, though, is just this whole, like, imposter syndrome, which is the idea that, like, you don't belong or kind of, like, any morning you could just wake up and get fired because the jig will be up and people will be like, what are you doing here? Like, who let you in? And I really try not to give into that. But, you know, it's tough. It's tough. Sometimes I'm in meetings and I'm just like, how? These people are really smart. How am I here? So trying to just combat that and kind of move into spirit of promotion and advancement in 2016.
Yes, I like
that. What about you?
Everything's been pretty chill. Oh, you know what was pretty cool? I met with one of my old bosses, connected me with one of his friends just to talk about social media and digital.
Okay.
So I met with him. Turns out he's just like this bigwig guy in the photojournalism space.
Oh, wow.
He was like a director for all these photo agencies. And the thing that stuck with me during our conversation, it was interesting to hear him share some of like the same anxieties that I share with my friends and from, you know, the job loss community. Just talking about like, oh, you know, I'm doing all this planning and I want to plan and make sure it's perfect.
Yeah.
How do I know when to start? Like, should I just hit the ground running, like, yeah, you know, and think about it later and learn. It's like, so just that whole, just thinking about when you're launching something, yeah, all that anxiety and butterflies with it. Like, everybody has that.
That's refreshing.
Yeah.
It is refreshing.
So that was really encouraging.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's dive in. Welcome to Rants, Raves, and Reviews. As you guys know, this is the segment of the show where we talk about a rant, rave, or review for a product, service, tool, or experience that is positively or negatively impacting our professional lives. Mm-hmm. So, Courtney, what are you doing today?
I'm doing it's a rave.
A rave.
Yeah,
okay.
I have two tools that I really like, and I realize I've been keeping them to myself. Sorry, guys.
Sharing the wealth.
So the first one that I love is Canva.com. I don't know if you've heard about this.
Oh, I love Canva.
CANVA.com. Mm-hmm. And it's this really easy-to-use design software available online. You don't have to download anything.
Yep.
And they just have this endless supply of templates for social media posts, Facebook headers, infographics.
Yeah.
And it's just drag and drop, really easy to make sleek designs.
And so I love it because it's clean design. Yeah. As a designer, I have an eye for that. It's good white space. It's clean. Everything looks very professional.
Yeah. And another one I'm recommending, because I didn't even realize this was a thing until my coworker geeked out when I showed it to her, iemoji.com. So it's, you can cut and paste any emoji.
Oh,
and it's
cool.
Great for when if you're doing social media. That's the big thing, is having all the emojis in there, because apparently we're transitioning to a society that talks in pictures.
Yeah, for
so,
sure.
So if you do that for your company, or you just want to jazz up your work email, no judgment.
Love it.
iemoji.com.
Very cool. Well, I'm similarly raving / reviewing kind of a collaboration tool today, and that is Google Drive. So a lot of us have Gmails, Google accounts. I realize we don't really talk about Drive enough. I love Drive.
Yeah.
So Google Drive is kind of the portion of Google's product offering that gives you file storage so you can upload your pictures, your documents. It's also a collaborative work environment. So,
listen, I would not be in grad school if there was no Google Drive. Because
exactly.
I'm not coming to my house to meet y'all.
Exactly. So you can work on the same Word document, paper, spreadsheet with other people in your company. It shows revision history, comments. And it has different products. So it has spreadsheets is one that's similar to like an Excel spreadsheet, Docs, which is just Docs, and then also presentations similar to PowerPoint. What I love is that you can access all of this on the app offline.
Yeah.
So we use it here for the podcast as we're prepping for each episode. And then also I met recently with Erin from episode 2, who recently got engaged. Congratulations.
Oh, nice.
And she's using one of the templates on Drive that is basically designed for wedding planning. It has tabs for photography, for venues, for booking the DJ. It's all pre-populated and
That's
set up
cool.
for you to just plug and play.
I have
so.
To explore the template.
Yeah, really, really innovative template. So check that out if you're not already using it. Okay, so we are so excited to have Ariel Lopez in the studio with us today. Hey, Ariel.
Hi.
Welcome, welcome. So
Thanks
Ariel
so
is a career coach at General Assembly and also the founder of the 2020 Shift, which is a social enterprise that educates underrepresented millennials on careers in digital media and technology.
Yes.
Ariel's focus through the 2020 Shift is bridging the gap of diverse talent to non-engineering opportunities through access to jobs, resources, and professional development. So welcome. We're really excited to talk to you just about transitioning industries and careers today and some of your best practices and nuggets for our audience.
Yeah, for sure. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Good. I think it's a great time. Everyone's on their new year, new me. So
start
a new field.
Exactly.
Great time. So let's start. I think it would be good to start with what's some steps or questions you should ask yourself before you make that transition, because you don't want to transition and then you hate the new thing. So how do you know you're ready for that transition?
I think there's a lot of things that you need to be kind of cognizant of whenever you're transitioning careers. But I always ask people, at least when I sit down with them, usually my first question to them is, what would you do every day for free? right? Because that taps into like the passion piece. I always ask people to think about what their like top three, the top three things they are looking for in like their next employer, or what their top three non-negotiables are. So non-negotiables are essentially what are the must-haves, right? Is it stability? Is it team environment and like the culture? Is it compensation? I've worked with a lot of engineers to where they don't care about the money at all. They just want to work on something that's innovative, right? So I think for everyone, depending on, you know, where you are in your life, well, where you are in your career professionally, and then also just kind of based on your interests, it has a lot to do with what that transition looks like for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I remember transitioning from kind of advertising into wanting to be client side. And I think something that a lot of people face is there's a difference between transitioning careers and industries, well, industries in terms of the macro level, and then your actual job function and role in terms of what you're going to be doing at the micro level. And can you speak a little bit about some of the differences there? Because, you know, specializing in kind of these tech opportunities with your audience, I feel like a lot of people are kind of intimidated by the tech skills needed to work in the tech industry, but you don't always need tech skills depending on if you're just transitioning roles, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think, I guess a few things to that. First thing is, I think if you're transitioning from industry to industry, there's always, it's always going to be a little bit harder just because you're coming in as a beginner, right? So recruiters, hiring managers are looking at you thinking, okay, this person doesn't have much experience. So there's automatically like more pressure for you to kind of prove yourself as a thought leader and just a professional within that field. I think when you're just trying to transition from like job to job, I always tell people, like, I think one of the things that people always think was bad is like being too aggressive, right? Like, oh, I don't want to ask for too much, or I don't want to come off as being pushy or anything like that. And then I have to remind people, like, you're in control of your life and your career, right? So no one is out here just looking to give you a promotion. Like, you have to be willing just to kind of put yourself out there.
Yeah, for sure.
So I would say in that aspect, it's just more about, you know, just being confident and wanting to make that transition.
But I feel like there are skills at that micro level, right? When it's from job to job or even industry to industry, there's skills that are transferable throughout that sometimes we forget to highlight or don't think to highlight. I mean, if you're project managing in one industry, it might look a little bit different, especially at more senior levels. But at the entry and mid-level, essentially, they're kind of the same sort of competencies that are being looked for in both fields. So how do you help people just kind of learn how to highlight those and maybe lead with that versus
100%
industry, you know what I mean, or the role?
I think, well, first, just kind of in my in my experience at General Assembly, the majority of our students are people that are transitioning careers. Right? So we have people that have some relevant experience. So maybe you work 2 or 3 years in advertising or media. So it's a little bit easier for you to pick up on those tech skills. But then I have people that come and take our classes that were bartending for 7 years. And they're just learning UX design. So I think it looks a little bit different for everyone. I always tell people, just I think the best way, I guess, like tangible things that you can do is A, just look at the job that you're interested in. So really study job descriptions of the positions that actually interest you and see what those key requirements and skills are. Make sure that you look at the key skills and requirements, but also pay attention to the soft skills. Pay attention to how they describe like the company culture and stuff like that. I think a lot of people don't, I always tell people, for employers, you know, everyone has like a laundry list of the things that they want in a potential candidate, right? So for Twitter, that may be like 30 things. But anyone that's ever been a recruiter knows, if you find someone that has like half of the 30, you're hiring them, right? Because it's tiring. It takes a really long time to find the right person. And I think people that just have great communication skills, great client-facing skills, organizational skills. These are all things that are highly transferable that some people may not realize, but they can actually really save you throughout the interview process and, you know, help you get that offer, even over your hands-on kind of technical experience.
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
coffee.
I'm down. So my roommate, Brittany,
okay,
who's also a coworker, wrote in, and I've been sitting on this for a little while, but I'm going to go ahead and read it.
Okay.
Because it reads as follows. Over the holiday, I had the privilege to watch all of the Harry Potter films in the binge fashion, of course, and I noted several relevant messages that can be translated to the workforce. I would like to request a write-up on how Harry Potter films highlight the importance of, one, mentors, his teachers,
okay,
two, sponsors, his headmaster and the field keeper,
uh-huh,
three, keeping a circle of people who balance you in different ways, Ron and the chick.
I think the
chick's name is
you
Hermione.
You will respect Hermione.
Hermione, the chick's
name. Miss Granger. Continue. I'm appalled.
How working towards a common cause as a collective yields desired results. Everyone at Hogwarts was willing to die for Harry Potter because they believed in his cause.
Okay.
Five, you may not win the battle, but you will win the war. Took them like 7 movies to kill the name we do not mention.
He who must not be next. See, you gonna ring the nerd out of me. So I'm bringing up Harry Potter for you now. Keep going. Six. Is there more?
There's more. Okay. There's one more. Practice and purpose turns the student into the teacher, aka career growth. Harry went from learning spells to teaching his peers what he mastered, which helped him to fight his cause, feel a part of it, and finally be the only one to defeat the Dark Lord.
Okay.
There, Brittany, I read it. I'm not giving you a write-up.
But I read it. You know, the universe brings us lessons in everything. Talking a little bit about 2020 shift, I love how you focus on the non-engineering roles.
Yeah.
I think with any industry, like whether it's music or anything else, they're just focused on one position. And
yeah.
Then there's all these other positions that make that position possible.
Right.
Yeah.
So
law.
What's So what's out there that maybe people aren't thinking of position-wise?
Everything. You know, when I started 2020, it was more so just looking at the monster that has become diversity in tech. I knew it was going to be big as soon as Google released their reports, and I saw the numbers on the page, and I was just like, oh my God, this is
bleak.
Terrible. Just like, oh my God, it's like 2% here, 3%
yeah,
here.
Yeah, that's always so
the
bleak.
Only one that topped like 5% was Apple, but that's just because they included their retail employees. So it's like, let's not be shady,
tricky,
Apple.
Tricky.
We're not talking about corporate. But I would say, like, there's a ton of initiatives that are super focused on coding and STEM, which is great. Like, we need women in engineers, we need Black engineers, we need Latino engineers, but that's not all we need,
right?
When you look at tech companies, there's a lot of different pieces that makes a company successful, and there's different departments, right? So you have product management.
Yes.
So these are the people that are kind of like mini CEOs. They're at the intersection of business and design, and they just help get things done. They move the needle on things.
Yeah.
You have UX designers who are, you know, the creatives. They are the people that make things look pretty, right? And make them easy to use for the users. You have project managers who are sort of like product managers and just getting things done. You have data analysts.
Yeah.
Analytics is probably one of the fastest growing fields within tech right now. And it's actually a pretty good fit for anyone that considers themselves to be technical, but maybe you don't necessarily want to code
for
14 hours
Got
a day.
It.
You can even do like legal, you can do finance,
sales,
you can do sales, marketing.
Yeah, it's true. And we all know it, but we don't think about it when we think about some of these industries and opportunities. So for people who are outside of tech, for instance, since that's your specialty, and I think it's a really kind of coveted field for a lot of people to enter, what can we do to bridge the gap between our current experience and some of these non-traditional verticals that are popping up in the tech space?
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of like knowing what you're good at and leading with that, right? You know, even to your point, like sales and marketing, if we're talking about like our community, because we focused on minorities,
right?
Like these are things we do naturally well,
right?
Like you think about your friends that tweet all day and they get like hundreds of retweets and they're hilarious, but they have no idea social media editor at BuzzFeed is a job.
Yeah,
you can actually get paid for the content that you're producing, right? Like you retweet Complex all day, but if you actually read some of Complex's articles, they may have your content in it and you don't even know.
Yeah.
Right. So I think it's just, you know, there's just such a huge lack of awareness that's happening. But I think that has a lot to do with the industry and making sure that these careers are visible, which is why, you know, companies like 2020 Shift are important. Mm-hmm. But I would say on the candidate side, just talk to people, right?
Talk to people.
Your network is always going to work for you much more than anything else you can do. I have a lesson that I talk about avoiding the black hole. And the black hole essentially is every recruiter's inbox in the industry, right?
Yeah.
So if you're just applying for a job and hoping someone gets back
right.
to you, like, good luck with that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, you're not going to get too far.
You're not.
Yeah. Right? But, like, if you want to get into Facebook, you need to find someone that works at Facebook.
Mm.
You need to talk to them on the phone, take them
How?
To coffee.
How do you find them?
I mean, LinkedIn.
Yeah.
LinkedIn. I've built, oh, my God. There's people in my network I didn't even know could ever be in my network.
Yeah.
Just because I took a chance and sent them a message on LinkedIn and they
wow.
accepted it.
Wow.
Actually, one of my closest advisors is one of the few black VCs in the country.
Hmm.
And I met him via LinkedIn.
Wow. And what did you say? I mean, I'm trying to kind of dig
yeah.
deeper because I think a lot of us know these avenues exist, but it's like, okay, so now I'm on LinkedIn. How do I position a message to get somebody to actually want to respond to me?
Yeah. Well, I have a few tactics. I think the easiest thing to do is, A, look for people just closest to your network.
Mm-hmm.
So I always advise people to look at alumni,
okay.
right? Because, like, you would be surprised. The school thing actually
yeah,
holds pretty strong.
That's true. I haven't done that in a minute.
Especially if you didn't go to school. Like, we live in New York, but I had a student that was from Oregon. So I was mm-hmm. like, you need to look for everyone that went to Oregon State that lives in New York that works in tech.
Yeah.
And there was actually a ton of people that worked at a lot of companies that she wanted to work at. So mm-hmm. that was a way for her to kind of get her in. In terms of what to say specifically, I think the one thing is just, you know, kind of be fearless.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people get stuck overthinking how people may respond to the message. So
yeah.
they never send the message.
Yeah.
yeah.
So it's true. Just like, just yeah. be proactive and do, if they don't respond, who cares? Like,
yeah.
screw them. You'll meet other people along the way.
That's true.
But I'm happy to share like some resources with you guys in terms of like sample templates and stuff like that.
Yeah,
for
maybe
people to use.
We'll link to them in the episode notes.
Yeah, for sure. But I think the quick and dirty, it's just kind of saying, hey, came across your profile, love your background, try to find a point of mutual interest, like read their hobbies.
Yeah.
Like for
yeah.
me, if someone says they're interested in diversity, it's kind of like, okay, we should talk
yeah.
because I'm interested in diversity
yes,
too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. If they're at a company you want to work at, just mention like, you love the company and you were just curious to learn a little bit more about what their life looks like on a day-to-day basis.
Versus making it transactional
yeah.
at the get-go, right? Versus
yeah.
saying, hey, I'm applying to a job at that company. Can you
yeah,
help me?
Don't do
right.
that.
Yeah.
Don't
yeah.
do that.
yeah. I think during my last job search, that really helped a lot. After I applied for the job, I would mm-hmm. find somebody in the company. This is left over from my PR days because you can look find out the naming convention of the emails at their company.
Yep.
Oh.
And then you can kind of like dupe it to their
oh,
name.
There you
so,
go.
Ah.
Smart. And then you just position like, oh, I'm curious. Oh, I just saw this position open and I'm really
mm-hmm.
curious about, you know, your position. And it really
yeah.
like, I always got a response.
Yeah.
Like always.
Yeah.
Or just
oh.
kill them with flattery. Like, you look, your background is so amazing. I just
yeah.
want to be like you. Like, because people like talking
they
about
do.
Themselves.
They do. They absolutely
right?
do.
You'd be surprised how many conversations get started.
Yeah.
Just because you tell someone, I like your background and I aspire to do what you've done, right?
Yeah.
So just put yourself out there.
All right, guys.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
So, time for Ask Job Logs, a segment of the show where we address your career and life questions. You can submit your questions to us at joblogs.com/askjoblogs. And we had an extra voice.
Yeah.
Ariel's
going to be joining us. She is a career coach. She is well-versed in all of these areas, so we're excited to have you
yes.
weigh in. All right, so our first question is, how do I make friends as an adult? I graduated undergrad a few years ago, and I want to meet new people.
I know, hearing that, she's like, oh my God, I'll be your friend. Find me on social.
But this is real. I've thought about the same thing sometimes, too. It's like, I don't go out. I don't go to clubs and stuff. Like, how do you meet people?
Yeah. I think for me, I mean, I guess it's a little hard because I work in tech, and so much of tech is social.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's all meetups. It's all happy hours.
Yeah.
It's all mixers. Yes. Right? So I'm forced to just kind of be out and about naturally.
Right.
But I think for someone that's, like, I guess, a little bit more introverted, I would just suggest, like, definitely utilize Meetup, utilize Eventbrite, some of the other tools, and just see what's going on in your city. Just kind of keep an ear to the ground. Like, granted, maybe you don't want to go to a 10,000 person meetup your first time. but, you know, if it's just like a smaller group or, you know, just start to think of like kind of creative ways that you can kind of get yourself out there based upon your interest.
Yeah. I would add like volunteering, which people don't really think about, to that common interest groups.
Yeah. I just want everyone to get a hobby.
A hobby.
Like, yes. It really, that is how you meet people.
It does. You get a hobby. That's true. That's true. Classes.
Yeah. Very true.
Post-grad, like fraternities and sororities, or some that exist where you can join at the graduate level.
Yeah.
And there are all sorts of things.
Yeah. And there are a ton of different professional organizations as well that you kind of align yourself with.
Yeah.
Think of ones that have like annual conferences and events.
True.
Like, that's just kind of an extra add-on.
Yeah. The other thing I'd say too is like follow up with the people in your existing network. Like, sometimes just go back through your LinkedIn with your contacts and ask people to coffee or lunch and get to know them in a different capacity.
Yeah.
Sometimes our own networks are really impressive too, and we just don't tap into them.
Bring the party to you. Brunch is always
brunch preferable. Always a win. All right. We have another question.
Okay.
It says, what are some exit strategies when you know you've made a mistake choosing a new job? How soon is too soon to quit?
Answer to that is it's actually never too soon when you're unhappy.
I was going to say, I feel like dread is the marker. Like, if you dread going there, it's probably time.
Yeah, exactly. I think people have to be mindful that, you know, mentally, like, success is really a mental game, right? So if you're defeated in your head, everything that you do is just not going to be good. So if you know, if you have the mindset or the attitude that I hate my job, then the only things you're going to see are byproducts of that, right?
True.
So I think, like, be mindful of that, like, value your time, value your energy, and just find something that's a little bit more aligned with your interests and what you want to do. I think a big misconception that people have is that there's this assumption that they're going to come across as being jumpy. I have news, like, we are not our parents. No one stays at companies like for 5 and 10 years anymore. In fact, like, the average tenure for most companies are maybe, what, a year and a half, 2 years?
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're in a situation, you know, it's 3 months in and you're just like, this is not it, like, just leave. Don't worry about it. Once you start interviewing, of course, be transparent about why you wanted to leave.
Yeah.
But I feel like most hiring managers and recruiters understand that, especially in tech, right? Like, there's startups that fail.
Yeah.
Or the companies just run out of money. That has nothing to do
and
with
you're
you.
Done.
You just kind of have to move on. Okay. Bosses are crazy, right?
What advice for the party that you're leaving, how you communicate and kind of deal with them?
I think definitely just be have the tough conversation. Having the tough conversation is something that most people avoid. I think a lot of people are just like, I would love to just quit and not come back. But like, but no, you can't do that because there's something called your reputation, and that's pretty important. You know, definitely, I guess you can always like have like the written 2 weeks notice. But I suggest, even before you take that step, just pulling your manager or whoever your director is aside and saying, look, I need to have a conversation with you. At this point, I'm unhappy in my position. I just wanted to kind of put it on the table. I don't know if there's any ways to where we can fix that. But if not, then I'm prepared to make my exit.
Good advice.
All right. Our last question is, how do you ask for a raise? I'm going to take some notes here. I would like more coins in 2016 as well.
Yes. Yes, I'm all about getting your coins every year, not just 2016. But I would say, like, again, kind of going back to being fearless. Like, people, I think it's because I talk to so many people and I just kind of notice the common trend. Mm-hmm. Most people just get stubbed along the way by themselves. Like, it's nothing that happened to them. They were just too afraid to ask for that promotion or ask for the raise. I would say for my personal experience, I was actually able to negotiate a pretty substantial increase in my salary over the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. First place was in-house. Mm-hmm. So it was just a matter of saying, hey, I've been here. I was 6 months. That's more than enough time, in my opinion, to position yourself to ask for a promotion. But here's how. So you pull your manager aside, say, you know, I want to review just my salary based off of these things. Mm. The most important thing is to actually bring something to the table, right? Like, you have to show why you're valuable. You can't just say, I really want a raise, and you have no reasons why. So I always advise people to track everything that you're doing.
And I think it's also, like, it's not just accomplishments and major launches or projects for the company, but it's, like, resources saved, time saved, how you're, like, helping the team kind of be more efficient and lean as well.
100%. So after having that conversation, you know, they didn't give me 100% yes. Mm. And I know some people would have gotten discouraged and been like, okay, I guess not, but not me. I was like, no, we're going to have a follow-up conversation about this, and we're going to have another follow-up conversation about this until I get what I want. Mm. So they gave me the raise. And then when I left, I was able to secure another raise just by obtaining my new position. Mm. So quick negotiating tips here. My favorite one is when companies ask, like, how much you're looking for, never give an exact number. When you give an exact number, it makes it super hard for you to negotiate from that number. And usually you sell yourself short, right? So assume that the company always has at least $10,000 more within their budget that they can pay you for the position. Exactly. So I always say everywhere that I'm interviewing falls between X and Y. Because then it takes the pressure off of you. I'm not saying
but you
my
say
range.
Everywhere I'm interviewing.
Exactly. I caught that. I'm not saying my, like, you need to pay me 80 to 90K. Right. I'm saying everywhere that I'm interviewing.
Standard.
Yeah. Exactly. It just happened to be offering 80K for this role.
Right.
Hopefully it falls
that.
Within that.
Oh, that's so good.
And yeah, and just kind of stick to your guns. Always, again, going back to, like, your non-negotiables.
Yeah.
And when the offer comes, always make sure that you reiterate everything that you bring to the table. Mm. And yeah, I was able to get, I got, what, about $10,000 more
nice.
When I made the career move.
The external
there.
Move. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah,
I've had similar luck recently in the last 2 years. But also, it's helped that I'm at a company that has built-in merit-based increases annually.
That's always
So you can
nice.
Always count on that being a certain percentile. So, I mean, do the research, see what companies do that. And then also just negotiating from there to make sure that you're always upwardly mobile. But the 6 months is good. I thought that was, like, too short.
No. Definitely 6 months. And something else that people don't realize is that you can actually negotiate that your salary be revisited within 6 months when you sign a new offer, right? So let's say you get an offer and it's $65,000, but you really want it $70,000. You can say, okay, I'll take the offer at $65,000, but I would like for there to be a term in the contract where within 6 months we revisit this salary at $70,000.
That's a great
So it's
tip.
Kind of just kind of building in that assurance that, okay, I'm not getting the exact number that I want right now, but at least I know in 6 months when I
back.
Say, hey, what's up with that 70?
Exactly.
No one looks at me like I'm crazy.
Right.
So you can always do that.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Ariel. This was an incredible conversation.
Yes. Aww,
thanks
I have
for
notes
having me.
For the future.
Yes. Notes for days.
You
but,
guys are awesome.
Tell us where we can find you, where we can find 2020 Shift and your social handles.
Yeah, for sure. I would say first things first, definitely connect with me on LinkedIn.
Okay.
And it's just at, well, just search Ariel Lopez and you'll see my smiling face. And if you say that you heard about me via, you know, the podcast, and that would be super helpful. I'm always down to, give a little bit more assistance that way.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, for sure. On Twitter, it's just at Ariel Lopez. There's two underscores that follow that, but I think I should pop up fairly quickly. For 2020 Shift, on Twitter, it's just at 2020 Shift, so 2020SHIFT. I definitely would say go to our website. So it's 2020shift.com. We actually have a job board that we update weekly. Nice. There's about 100 positions within the tech space, and they're all non-engineering, and they all require zero between 3 years of experience.
Oh, that's incredible.
Nice. Yeah.
All over the country.
Just in New York for right now. City.
Oh, that's great. We'll take it.
Yeah, but we are expanding it to other cities probably within the next few weeks.
Love it.
Yeah, so there's that. And then if you choose to follow me on Instagram, it's just at Ariel Lopez. There's an underscore and an XO because I came to IG late. And apparently my name is pretty popular and I'm not as creative as you would think. So that's what I came up with.
Thanks.
No problem.
All right, so it's that time again, time for Hired and Fired. It's the segment of the show where we give a positive nod to folks in pop culture who are doing their thing. And sometimes we got to give those termination papers if they're not.
Yep.
So you can see the whole team at joblogs.com/payroll. It's my time.
It's your time. What you doing? Hired or fired?
I'm doing a hired.
Okay.
It's not like a big pop culture splash thing.
Okay.
It was something I was reading, and I was really touched by this. I was reading The New Yorker, and they have this great profile on Leslie Jones.
Oh, yeah,
from
SNL.
Yeah, she's from SNL. She was recently added. She's in the next Ghostbusters movie.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
And she better work.
The article talks about how is this incredible upswing in career. Her career. She was a stand-up comic for 25 years. I remember her from, like, Comic View and stuff like
that. I do.
Yeah, so it just talks about, like, this slow burn to her career. Great read, great lessons on endurance and caring about your craft and honing it.
Yeah, yeah.
She's the oldest cast member to ever be added, and that's in large part due to Chris Rock.
Oh, really?
And this is why I'm hiring Christopher Rock.
Christopher.
I'm rocking with Chris Rock lately because, I mean, just things I've been seeing that he does is really cool. And I love the small thing that he did after he saw her do stand-up. I mean, he'd known her all that time.
Right,
but
right.
He saw her one day and he was like, you know, you were good before, but you're really good now.
Oh.
And she tells him, well, like, if I need someone like you to, like, help me go to the next level.
Yeah.
So what he does, he opens his cell phone and he has a note titled Funny People. And he adds her to this list. Of funny people. So
like, you've made it if you're
right,
on that
you're
list.
In, like, I want to see the list. But anyway, so when SNL was doing this big search for black women to add to the cast, because it was a big kerfuffle, so Chris Rock calls up Lorne Michaels, the creator of SNL, and was like, I have this woman that you're not going to find in the usual channels that you go to. Like, try her out. And once he saw her, he was like, I'm going to hire you.
Her sponsor.
Right. So I love that, just like using his position in the industry, like you said, sponsoring her talent, but also like the fact that he has that list, it just shows that it's setting the intention. Like, this is viable. I'm not just going to say, I'm going to help you out.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I'm going to remember you. So I love that. Like, start that list of like people that you really want to root for and vouch for. And if an opportunity comes up, I think that's something that we can all do.
Yeah, for sure.
So Chris Rock. Join the winning team.
Join the team. All right. And that is another fantastic episode in the hat.
Always goes by too fast.
Too fast. Thank you guys so much for joining us. As always, you can connect with us at Joblogs around the web. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Visit joblogs.com for links and resources mentioned in this episode, as well as articles to inspire you on your professional journey.
And some of those articles are written by our contributors.
Nice.
If you're interested in contributing, joblogs.com/contribute. Courtney, where are you on the web?
At Cleave Out Loud, C-L-E-V-E. The general places, Instagram, Twitter, a little bit of Snap sometimes.
Yeah, and I am Hamis Parker, H-E-Y-M-I-S-S-P-A-R-K-E-R-R. I'm on Twitter and Instagram right now, so check me out there.
Nice. And don't forget to rate and review. Many of you expressed so much support for the show, so we thank you so much for that.
Yes.
The best thing you can do to say thank you to us is to share it with a friend.
Yes.
And also leave us a rating and review. You can do that in the iTunes store.
Mm-hmm.
Just search Job Logs on the podcast app for iOS, click our show, and go to the review tab.
Yep. And we have a featured review today from one of you guys. Thank you so much for submitting it. J. Diane Riffle says, great to hear a warm, relatable, and personable podcast about a topic that feels really scary, impersonal, and strange to talk about. I love hearing about career advice and experiences from other women of color, especially. There's so little career advice out there that is realistic or genuine, and I really appreciate these perspectives.
That's exactly
what we're about. So it's so refreshing to see that and hear that. Thank you so much for submitting that review.
Mm-hmm.
As always, we got to thank our guest, Ariel Lopez, for joining us.
Yes.
Producer, Adrian Wagner, also our audio engineer.
Zodiac.
We got to.
Listen, 2016, Adrian
Buddha. Operation Adrian Buddha. I mean, the man is fine. His voice, you know, he got the vocals. He can
sing. He's a gentleman.
He's a musician.
He's a Libra.
Hit us up if you want. Also, many thanks to our studio, Visionary Media, Jimmy, and the whole team, and you,
the listener.
Love you guys. Thank you so much for.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.